Most people think that once you're a believer, you're not going to go through seasons of lack or seasons of when things are not measuring up. Those seasons are going to be there. And those seasons will come and what? And pass. So it doesn't mean that because seasons are very tough, God has forgotten me. I'm going through a very hard life. And then you are looking forward to a very good life, which a lot of the time is never going to be there. Be like Paul. I've learned to be with much, but I've also learned to be with less. When there is less in my house, we cut the cost of living. Like right now, we've cut the cost of living. And we believe that God will provide. Now, have we always been like this? Not really. So that means if I haven't been always like this, I also know there's going to be a season when there's going to be plenty. You know when the season of plenty comes in? You forget the season of dryness. Like, just like that, that quick. There's one, once upon a time I wasn't driving and the next day I had a car. And I forgot all the suffering when I was walking. Just like that. Just like that. I couldn't even remember when was the last time. So, but that's the season. But it also, opposite is true, is that when we are going through a very hard time, you can forget that once upon a time God has been good. So being generous doesn't really necessarily mean that things are around. No, whatever I have is what I share. That is generosity. If it's much, out of the abundance of the much, I give. If it's little, out of the little, I do what? I give. And that's what we teach in this church. Let me give you statistics, which are very true. You can Google, you can do what. I've been in church a very long time. I know. Usually in church, people who give, first of all, let's talk about giving. People who give are like, I could stretch it to 30%, but it's not true. It's 15% of people who give, even in big churches. If you don't believe me, go on Google. The statistics of how generous the church is mind-blowing. So it's only usually 15% of the people who give in the church. And I know that because I've been a pastor here, but I've also been a pastor somewhere in a very big church. I could see. And it's very, very sad that that is happening. That pastors and many leaders have resorted to ways of what? Finding ways of getting the money out of you. Which really is not necessary. You will not find it here. So if you find the work of God going on, a lot of the times, there is just a few people who have sacrificed. It's not right. But also, when it comes to serving, the statistics are the same. It's usually 15% of the people who are serving. And it can be a church of 50,000. Now, the things that we do here at Imitate Church, I know bigger churches that don't do them. I know we're a part of a bigger, I mean, I would say bigger church that was organizing an event in the city not very long ago. And they were fundraising. And I said, but they are big. For us, we do those meetings without even fundraising from outside. But they're a very big church. They know people internationally, but they are fundraising. So I don't blame them. I know what happens a lot of the time is that the members sometimes don't want to give. So you find that you still want to do the will of God and fulfill the will of God, but the church may be not generous as you hoped the church will be. So that's why we emphasize, be generous in this church on a monthly basis. Okay? So then open up your heart and be generous on a monthly basis. Next week, we're going to tell you how and explain how we are going to do missions in this church. So when we open it up, be generous. In fact, we are having a mission trip next Saturday, and we need money. And I'm going to ask you today to give towards that. My pastor is short notice, but that's the way it is. We don't have money for that missions field. We are the members. We are the family. And so we ask you to dig down into your pockets, and we give towards that missions field. And of course, we are going to be talking about honor and what? And order in the house of the Lord. I did all that to just give you a brief background of what do we believe, what do we stand for. Now, in Titus, no, 1 Timothy, sorry, not Titus, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 15. Let's start from verses 14. So, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's writing to Timothy because Timothy was a pastor in a place where Paul had left him. Now, I would encourage you to read 1st and 2nd Timothy. 1st and 2nd Timothy, they call them Pauline epistles, okay, or pastoral epistles. They are full of direct instructions. They are full of what? Direct instructions. And Paul was writing to Timothy, who was having a church that he was overseeing, and is giving him instructions. Says, this is what you do in the house of God. And so these particular series I'm going to teach are really very instructional, and a lot of hard things are going to come out. I'm warning you ahead of time. Usually what churches do, and actually there's a church that is teaching on honor right now, they call mercenaries. They call pastors that can't say, I mean, they call, because I can't tell it to you, so I'm going to call to hire a hot gun. And then he will say what I wouldn't have said in your face. But I think that's bad parenting. For me, here we teach, I told you we teach the whole counsel of God. So we are going to talk about everything, the abuse that is there in honor, the abuse that is there in order, and I'm going to turn the tables. I'm going to bring out the ugly. But you know, I have also been teaching well for the past few months. Why you've been saying amen, amen, amen. So I would like you also in this series to say what? Amen. So that's what they call teaching the whole counsel. Go, ah, Pastor, how can you say that? But all the other things we've been saying, we've been confessing and taking them. Right? So even this, we take them and we confess them. Right? So this series is going to be quite bumpy. Very bumpy. So get ready. So we're going to start from 1 Timothy. And we are going to start from chapter 3 and verses 14. He says, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Okay? But just in case I delay, verses 15, he says, but if I tarry long, you see that? Thou mayest know how thou ought to what? To behave what? Thyself. To behave what? To behave thyself where? In the house of God, which is the the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Can I have a very verses 14 and 15 and NLT, I believe. He says, so that if I am delayed, 14, put 14 and 15 together. So, I'm writing these things to you. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be, so that if I am what? Delayed. You will know how people must conduct. Now, let's first stop there. People must what? When you come to the house of God, there is a conduct. Okay? When we are going to be talking about the culture of honor and order, please, I'm not coming from our traditional culture. Okay, that in this culture, this is how we behave. No, I'm coming from the culture of the kingdom of God. How do we behave? Even when we are picking leaders in the house of God, the first thing that, in fact, if you go up this very chapter, Paul was talking about what? The bishop. The conduct of a leader. For example, in verses 12. Let's go. So that I can show you. He's talking about the conduct of a leader. In verses 12. He says the deacon must be faithful. Alright? A leader. A leader must be what? To his wife. And he must be what? He must manage his children and what? And household well. Now, you must understand that most of the churches were house churches. Okay? And they were meeting in different places. So when people come and meet in your house, the children are there. But if the children are not behaved while the meetings are going on, they may disrupt. So Paul is saying he must manage his children and household well. Are we together? That's a leader. And then in verses 13, those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others. We'll talk about that in the weeks to come. And will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. But there's something that we'll talk about, but you can see them there. He says that if they are deacons or if they are leaders, they should have respect from others. These are instructions. You have leaders in the church, respect them. Okay? So that's why he comes from and jumps into verses 13 and 14. We're at 14. Can we go to, was it 14? Huh? We're at 15. Okay? Conduct. Everyone say conduct. So there must be what? Good, a code of conduct when you come into the house of God. Conduct themselves in the house of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. So, in the church of the living God, there is a code of conduct. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Order and honor in the church of the living God. Now, if you're born again, this is your culture that I'm going to be talking about, not your Baganda culture or Bachiga culture or Banyoro or Barulu culture. No. It's the culture of the church of the living God. Are we clear? Come on, are we clear? So the first thing that we're going to be talking about today, if you want a title, My sheep know my voice. So before we go into order and honor, we need to first discuss carefully how leadership is laid out in the house of God. Okay? We need to understand how what? Leadership. Everybody say leadership. Come on, everybody say leadership. Okay? How is leadership structured in the house of God? Now, in the house of God, we don't vote leaders. Okay? They don't vote. They ordain. Why? Because everybody that has been called by God, it's God who calls them. The church leadership, again, order, just what? Acknowledges them and ordains them for order's sake. But the gift of God is already in the person. So we don't vote who is going to be the next pastor, who is going to be the next leader. No, we ordain or we appoint because there's a structure called deacons or bishops in the church. Are we together? Come on, are we together? Come on, are we together? Now, there are instances where, of course, this is abused. But I'm talking about what does the scripture say. So we are going to talk about the structure of leadership in the Bible and how does God sees it. And the title of my message today, My Sheep Know My Voice. Let's start from Jeremiah chapter 3 verses 14 to 16. Jeremiah 3, he says, turn, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Turn, O backsliding what? Children, says the Lord, for I am unto you. I am what? So remember this morning we are saying we are family. Right? So we are going to be talking family language. People who are outside, whatever I'm saying, doesn't really make any sense to them, and it's none of their concerns. We are talking about things in our own house. I am married unto you, and I will take you one over what? And two over, and I will bring you to Zion. Okay, of course, Zion there can be a literal place, but we also say Zion. Oh, Zion was a literal place, but a lot of the times also Zion is used prophetically or figuratively for the church. Okay? Then in verses 15 it says, and I will give you what? Pastors. Now in another version says shepherds. Shepherds are pastors. Everybody says shepherds are pastors. So if we call you a pastor, it doesn't mean you own a church. He says, I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm not going to be a pastor. No, pastoring doesn't mean you own a church. Pastor means you are a shepherd. And we'll discuss that. I'm going to leave it at that. You are what? Everybody say, I'm a shepherd. Everybody say, I'm a shepherd. Everybody say, I'm a shepherd. I will give you what? He says, he didn't say you will choose. He says, me. So you see, shepherds in the church or in the house of God are not chosen by people. You need to understand that. You know, simulimu nti. Yeah? Yeah, that you do an interview. No, this is the house of God. And if the house of God is the one who does what? Who chooses shepherds. Okay? Now, that is very important when we're going to be talking about honor. Because you may not like the shepherd over the house. Huh? You may not want to obey the shepherd over there because that's not your what? Your choice. I want to let you know early enough, it is none of your business. God calls somebody and puts them in a place. Write it down. It is none of my business. I'm telling you, it's going to be ugly. It's none of your business. Listen. I know this, and I've known this to be true. And in case you don't know it right now, I want to warn you. The shepherd in the house doesn't mean they are the smartest. Do I have married people here? I have married people. The shepherd in your house may be the dumbest. Mumsaja msiru siru mumutwe, right? Am I talking? The shepherd in your house may be dumb, right? But it doesn't mean that the leadership over that house you take over. They may be really dumb. There are really some dumb shepherds, right? Some dumb leaders. Let's accept that. There are some really dumb, really dumb leaders. And sometimes you wonder who even elected that person. But when it comes to the authority and the leadership, they are the ones that God has chosen over that house. Therefore, you submit over the authority of that house. Don't tell God who you want to be your shepherd. No, he said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. And what will they do? Who will feed you with knowledge and understanding? I don't want to get into that in details because I am going to go into details in there. But what I wanted you to know, that shepherds are pastors and they are chosen by God. Are we together? And I've also said that your shepherd, you may be actually smarter in terms of maybe knowledge. But it doesn't mean that you override the shepherd or the leader in that house. You honor and you respect. Didn't we see that in Timothy? That the sheep respects the bishops. Are we together? And we repeat. It says, I honor and respect the shepherds that are over me. Can you repeat that? I say, I. Say your name. I honor and respect the shepherds God has put under me. Right? I say, hey, Pastor, don't you feel funny when you're saying those things? I don't. Why? Because I'm teaching you the whole counsel of God. Right, but you're teaching people to honor you. But I've taught you also other things. So shouldn't I teach you this also? Amen? So, God will give us shepherds after his own heart that will feed us with knowledge and understanding. We are going to come back to that and you're going to love it. So, Brother Nathan talked about in the very beginning that we are what? Church. Okay? That word church means ecclesia. It's called what? Ecclesia. In the Old Testament, we don't have the reference of the word ecclesia, though it's mentioned in the New Testament. Okay? But what we have in the Old Testament is the word assembly. Okay? So, the assembly is what we have in the Hebrew, okay? But church is what we have in the Greek. And I'll tell you why. Again, it's because of what we talked about in the Bible seminar. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in what? In Greek. Are we together? Please follow. So in the Greek, they had this word called church. Everybody say church. Now, the word church or ecclesia in the Greek meant the called out. Call out. Now, what was the church? The church was, for example, I don't know, you've watched these movies like the Gladiators and the fighting movies, right? War movies. So the church used to be that small sect of people that the boss or the chief or the captain that used to sit on the table and discuss matters of the kingdom, called out. They would meet with him in the secret chamber. They are what? Called, and they are called what? Church. Okay? This is the assembly that the chief would meet with to discuss what? Matters pertaining the entire kingdom. And that group was called what? Church. So when the Holy Spirit is writing the scriptures, he wants to use a word that is familiar in that day. Assembly wasn't familiar in that day. Assembly was familiar in the Old Testament. Like, for example, the Bible would say, and God called out the Israelites out of Egypt. Assembly. In fact, when Paul is referring to the assembly in the wilderness, he uses the word church. I don't know whether we look at those scriptures, but if you read Acts chapter 7 and verses 37, he says, this is Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise you up a what? A prophet like me from your what? From your brothers. Verses 38, he says, this is the one who was in the what? In the church, can we go back in the King James? This is he that was in the what? In the church. Everybody say church. Everybody say church. This was he that was in the what? That was in the church in the wilderness. Are you seeing that? But other translation, you have already seen, they use the word congregation. So this was he that was in the wilderness. The angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai, which our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So there was a group that God called out from the world and gave them the Ten Commandments. Are we together? And that group is called church. They are called out from the world to himself so that he may give them a specific mission. Everybody say specific mission. So when the church was also called out in the New Testament, the mission that the previous church or congregation was called out for was the same. Are we together? Come on, are we together? So in Matthew 16 verses 18, Jesus said, I will do what? Come on, Jesus said, I will do what? I can't hear you. Jesus said, I will do what? That is Matthew 16. And verses 18. So the word church, which is ecclesia in the Greek, means call out. So we are what? We are called out. The church is also referred to as the body of Christ on earth. That is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and verses 23. So we are talking about, or we are going to be talking about, the church of Jesus Christ. Okay, so when did this desire of the church begin? Did it start in Exodus? Did it start in Matthew 16? No, it started in Genesis chapter 1. Please write down. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. Let us do what? Make man in our image. So God had long time ago desired to have a what? Family. Everybody say family. Okay? A family that will what? Hold his name. Image. But we all know, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 to 8, this mission was interrupted when the fall came about. So what happened is that now the family kind of got lost. Are we together? We are defining calling out. Because in the beginning, the desire was to be with this family. So in chapter 3 of Genesis, man fell out. Or man got lost. So then God has to find means of calling him back. Are we together? Into the family. Are we together? Come on, are we together? So that's the whole genesis of where it came from. God, in the very beginning, wanted a family, which we call church, or which we call congregation. But this is specifically a people that are called unto God. We are together? All right, so let's start. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 18. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments are given. Are we together? Come on, are we together? The Ten Commandments are what? I think the Ten Commandments are given. So let's read together. 1, 2, 3. And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mount smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar. Now, I want you to pay attention that God from the very beginning has been the father of this family. Now in Exodus, we are seeing that now there is some sort of fear that is coming in, and this is what the Israelites decided in verses 19. Let's read verses 19. They stood afar off, and they said who? Unto Moses. What? Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. So that's implying that God was always speaking with them. Am I right? Come on, am I right? Come on, am I right? He says, let God not speak to us. Lest we what? We die. So meaning that from the very beginning, God has always been what? Speaking with them. So what's their suggestion? What's their suggestion? Their suggestion in verse 20 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not. How many times have you seen this word fear? And every time you see this word fear, the Bible is saying, fear not. Okay? For God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. But if you go back to verses 19, I want to make a point. In verses 19, the people, now, we saw in the very beginning that I will choose for you, okay, shepherds that are after my own heart, okay? Now, the very first time we see in the Bible people choosing a mediator is in Genesis chapter 20. Mediator. That means somebody who does what? Goes before God, speaks, hears on your behalf, and comes back to you and does what? And tells you what God has said. And that's why some of our faith, even today, have people who are called mediators. They go to God, hear for you, and then they come back and they tell you what God has said. Are we together? So we see that form of breakdown begin from Exodus 20. But I want you to also note, it came from the people, not God. Moses was chosen to be a mediator, not by God. He was chosen to be a mediator by men. Are we together? Come on, are we together? He says, no, you go, get whatever needs to be gotten, you come back, tell us, we will obey. But let not God speak to us. Now, some of you are desiring to hear from God. But these people, for them, that said, no, we don't want to hear straight from who? From God. You speak to us. It will be sufficient for us. Can you say amen? So from that town onwards, you're going to see mediators, Moses, Joshua, the elders after Joshua, judges, and priests. People, because this is what men wanted. So God worked within what men chose as a means of what? Communicating to them. So Moses came. When Moses was done, Joshua came. When Joshua was done, there were elders after Joshua. When those elders were done, judges came. When those judges were done, guess who came? Priests, Samuel. Are we together? We are discussing leadership and the structure of how leadership is in the house of God. So from Genesis up to 1 Samuel, can we go to 1 Samuel? Chapter 8. From Genesis up to 1 Samuel chapter 8. God was still, even though he was now given a mediator, but he was still the king over the children of Israel. Are you there? 1 Samuel chapter 8 verses, we're going to start from verses 1. So, please note, because when I start talking about honor and order, you must have understood these facts in the Bible. So Genesis to 1 Samuel chapter 8, God is still king, but he has mediators. Okay? And it's very evident in the Bible. All those mediators, Deborah, Gideon, all those were what? Mediators that God was working through. But he was still king. Now, in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, Samuel is now the priest. Okay, we've moved over from the judges and now we have what? Priests. But God is still the king over this called out group. Are we together? Are we together? So that meant that other nations had their own kings, had their own system, had their own structure. So, but the reason this group is called out is so that they may be an example. For the original purpose, Genesis 1, 26. Genesis 3, for the fall away. So God wants to get a people to use an example to bring back the entire world back into the family. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Are we together? Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 8. He says, when Samuel became old, he made his sons judges. Do you see that? He made his what? He made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel. Do we have Joel here this morning? Now, the mistake that many of us leaders have done is to think that church authority can be inherited. And sometimes that's where the problem comes. Your children must be trained and must qualify. Your wife, we have very many first ladies who have absolutely, they don't have even a clue of how the church operates, but they are pastors. Because the pastor is the pastor. So automatically the wife becomes what? Which is wrong. The pastor's wife must qualify. Because this is a church of God. It's not your family business. Everyone write down. The church is not a family business. They are pastors. After Sunday, they take the whole offering bag. I'm not kidding. To their home and on their personal account. It's a family business. The scriptures is saying, this is my church. And in my church, there is order. Okay? I know churches where pastors' children, they don't qualify. But they are ministers. But there are people who qualify actually in the church. But because this one is a pastor's wife, a pastor's wife, yes, pastor's children, because that's the bloodline, they automatically what? Qualify, which is wrong. And it has caused so many problems, as I'm going to be discussing with you. If my children are going to pastor you, they have to qualify. In fact, right now, I'm training them. So that when they start pastoring you, you don't say, ha, dynasty turned. You say, no, these children are coming and you're seeing them. They were here yesterday. They are mopping. They are learning how these things. You say, ha. Eh, that watch tegera. No, I want you to see with your own house. My kids are into operators. You don't want to attend. Once they start ruling you, don't say it's a family thing. It's because Mugani, so kabafuge. Right? But that's how it should be. They go through the what? The system. And they have to qualify. If they don't qualify, so Samuel's children, like Eli's children, were not trained. Eli was a very, very mighty man of God. Samuel was a very, very mighty man of God. But his children inherited by what? By blood. And they did not qualify. So, the name of the first one was what? Joel. And the other of the second was what? There were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not what? Walk in what? In his ways, but turned aside after what? Gain. And that's why Paul would say that the servant of the Lord must not be a lover of money. Covetous. Samuel wasn't covetous, but his sons were what? They turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Can I have the amplified? If we can even get it more simplified so that you don't get big words. So what is perverted? I think you know bribe. Enguzi. Can you imagine? Waliwe enguzi. Mukanisa. And some of this bribe you know. You know. You don't know the bribe? It's like you sow a seed to see it, to find a man of God. That is witchcraft. There is no sowing a seed to see or meet a pastor. You're going to find out who a pastor is. You'll be shocked. And what is his first priority? You are going to be shocked. A pastor must not pastor for gain. Those instructions Paul gave Timothy, a pastor must not pastor for money. Even though the church also must not attend and allow the pastor starve. Those instructions are also there in the Bible. I don't work for money, but it doesn't mean that I starve and die. Those instructions are here in your Bible. Praise the Lord. So they were after what? Can we read the NLT? But they were like, not like their father. They were what? Greedy for money. Accepted bribes. And perverted justice. One of the most difficult thing to become a pastor. Write this down. Is the love of money. If you can handle money, you have 50% qualified. Most of the pastors that I know that have failed to pastor, it's money. A lot of them maybe are coming from poor backgrounds. So when they enter this church, greed comes in. And they start looking towards the money. That is greed for money. If you can pastor, and greed is conquered, 50%, you're moving in the right direction. Because for me, the thing that has split churches, usually it's not people. For you think it's people, it's not people. It's never been people. It's money. It's money. The other person says, when not wala kagundi kan ha. Nazivalam. I'm telling you the truth. I'm a pastor. I told you this is going to be bloody. I'm telling you it's a pastor. And usually they get the people who give. They talk to people who give. I've never seen somebody who splits a church and goes with poor people. They either get one or two people, big givers, or they talk to the majority. Who they know? Because most of these pastors who split churches, or who go away, they are inside the inner circle. I have never seen, again, somebody who splits the church and is not inside. So they know the mathematics. They know the books. They know people who give. I left a church. In fact, I was in charge of finances. I knew the big shot. All I needed was to, I was famous. All I needed was to call these numbers. They loved me dearly. In fact, they would chant my name. David has killed 10,000. That's what brought me problems. But anyways, you can. You can do that. But you see, if you look into the Bible, that's not why you are called to pastor. Amen? So, Samuel's children, greed took them over. And they didn't stop there. Let me tell you. Can I say this? Let me say this. I said I was going to be bloody. Let me bloody. One of the other temptations for pastors who take money, a lot of them sometimes don't work. Some work, but most of them don't work. Now, what happens if you don't work as a pastor? And the church is not giving. This is going to happen. I have to twist the message. Bribes. Okay? If it doesn't work, then I have to put certain things. I will sell oil or there's something I will do. Sometimes bribes are not like give me a bribe. But sometimes things that are done. Right? Come on, right? And you know them. So they accepted bribes and perverted justice. That means there wasn't order at all. In the house of God, we're not talking about outside. This was happening in the house of God where there is a man of God called Samuel. And previously, also Samuel is to be blamed because he had seen that happen under Eli. In fact, that's why Eli's family was kicked out, the entire family. And then Samuel. So Samuel would have learned and did what? And corrected those mistakes. Now, if you're coming to this church, I'm teaching this so that you know how there is order in this church. Moving forward, if something happens, this is how we're going to address it. Amen? And I'll be talking about those things as time comes, how we can handle some of the things. So they took bribes, and they did what? And they perverted justice. In verses 4, it says, and all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. The problem is not that Samuel was old, no. The problem is that the children he had chosen are not walking in the ways of Samuel. In fact, they were not even worried about the children. Let them continue pastoring, but the children are not walking in the ways. Please listen very carefully. They are not saying they are not anointed. They are saying their conduct is filthy. Please do not praise a leader. I don't care how anointed they are. But if their conduct is filthy, you are contributing to the bigger problem. There are many egoistic leaders, bad manners, bad conduct. They are asking for bribes. They are gossiping. They are talking about their leaders above. And we, the members, know it. But we also gang around those leaders. And we do what? We contribute toward arming and hurting and affecting that family that is in that position. Please, it doesn't matter whether you are anointed. If your conduct is not right, say, you know, God, for us, you know, in the new creation, you know, it's your new creation. No. It doesn't matter whether you're a new creation. Are you hearing? Come on, are you hearing? It doesn't matter whether you speak Greek and Hebrew. It doesn't matter whether you are so deep that you are deeper than the sea. It doesn't matter. If your conduct is not right, the best thing to do is for that leadership to apologize that they elected you and sit you down. Because you're going to hurt the body. How or why are they sitting there? They were called. But their conduct is what? They're taking bribes. They are taking, in fact, Eli's sons were taking even the offerings. They were sleeping with women. I said, but the grace of God will cover. But the body is being hurt. Because of what? Reckless leaders that are not cautioned, that are not talked about, that are not corrected. They are not walking in your ways. Which ways? The ways that Samuel had brought into the kingdom, walking with God as a man of God, as a mediator. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. It's not about splitting Greek. No, it's conduct. And we will see when Paul is instructing Timothy to select leaders, there is a requirement of conduct, things that he required. He says, one of the things that the disciples' criteria for choosing leader, one of them was he must have a good report, not inside, but outside. What are people talking about, Brother Nathan? Outside. What are people talking about, Pastor Godwin? Outside. Not here. Outside. Nowadays, I'm very, very careful because we've really suffered. This body has suffered. But the things now I hear outside, nowadays, I'm very serious about them. I'm not going to choose you as a leader if I start hearing a bad report outside. Because it's going to hurt the body. And nowadays, I'm telling you what is happening, okay? So that you don't get shocked. If conduct comes up, we are addressing it immediately. Like, not tomorrow, no, immediately. Why? Because these things, like Paul said, should not even be named amongst us. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Mchitwali. Let's move on. He says, now appoint. Everyone say appoint. Do you see what people are doing right now? They are the ones giving what? Instructions, okay? Now appoint. Now that word appoint would mean to ordain or to make or set, okay? Now appoint for us, listen what they are suggesting. Appoint for us a king. Did you see that? Appoint for us a king. Where is that coming from? Appoint for us a king to judge us, and Samuel did what? Prayed to the Lord. You know why he's praying? Because that's not the structure for a man to be king. And I'm going to talk about some sacred things. If you find or you go to a church where there are sofas on the pulpit, don't even sit. Don't even sit. In the structure, I want to go ahead of myself. In the structure of the kingdom, the king is a servant. But this king, the way it is structured, even in the world today, it's a worldly structure of leadership. You're not reading scriptures. Doesn't the Bible say that you are a royal priesthood? You are a kingdom of kings and priests. So if another man and his family come and elevate themselves above the rest, that is worldly. It's not kingdom leadership. I know you're looking at me funny, but it's okay. The other week I was preaching so well, I said, Pastor, go! Hey! And I said, it's okay. It's okay. You'll like me after. So, the suggestion to be king, remember, God was the king. But now they are coming to him and they are telling him that give us a king. So Samuel went and prayed because that's not what was supposed to be done when you're ruling a kingdom of God. Okay? So what happened? But this thing did what? We've skipped something. Go back. I don't want to really skip something in this series. Chapter 5, verse 5. Aha. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like other nations. Do you see that? Everybody say Ecclesia. We are called out from the system of other nations. This kingdom has one king, Jesus Christ. Don't we all say, we exalt you? Don't we sing that? Don't we sing that? Tukugulumiza. But now how come that katitukugulumiza sebo, shepherd? So they say, appoint for us, or ordain for us, a what? A king like other nations. Let's move on. This thing, verses 6. This thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a what? A king to do what? To judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. Verses 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, now I like how God responds. Obey the voice of the what? Of the people. In all that they what? They say to you. For they have not what? Rejected you. The word reject there means to despise or to refuse or to cast away. So what God is saying to Samuel is that they have not rejected, they have not despised you. They have despised me. Write this down. If you despise a leader chosen by God, you are despising God. Ah, for me, I only obey God. God has done what? Put mediators who you did what? Who you decided. And now you decided those mediators, but now you are not also listening to the mediators. So God is saying they have not despised you, they have despised me. Okay? Because Samuel wasn't happy. And any leader will not be happy if that is suggested. My time is up, but let me finish up. But they have rejected me from what? From being what? So men chose another man to be king over them and rejected God to be king over them. So they chose man over God. Are we together? Verses 8. And according to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I did what? I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are also doing to you. So that word forsaking means to leave or to neglect or to abandon. So he's saying that from the very beginning, they've been neglecting. From the very beginning, they've been what? Abandoning. So what they've been doing to me, they are also doing it to you. Are we together? We are together so far? So, in the kingdom of God, I may not finish today, but maybe next week. But in the kingdom of God, but what I want you to see here is that God is now given man to have his way. Are we here? It's not control. No, you can actually disobey. Are we together? It's not the house that If you don't do it, something bad is going to come to you. If you don't obey the leadership in this house, you're going to be cursed. You're never going to prosper. Not really. You will actually prosper. But you may reap consequences that are self-inflicted. And this is why. Because if you've never been faithful in one place, faithfulness is learned. It's taught. So if you've never been faithful in one place, when you go in another, you will continue to be unfaithful. That's why I'm saying that you may reap consequences that are self-inflicted. In fact, you can't be a father when you've never been a faithful son. How can you be a father when you've never learned how to be a son? You first learn how to be a son, and then you grow naturally into fatherhood. So abusive fathers or abusive leaders is that they have never gone through the process of consistently be faithful. Amen? So these people, bawaguza, he says, we no longer want to be under this authority. We want our own authority, where things are in our own hands, where we make our decisions when we want to. It's like when I come to church, don't tell me what you think. This is my life. I can come when I want to. Huh? But we are in the house of God. And Timothy was told, teach people how to conduct themselves in the house of God. So this is what we're discussing. Now, it's very interesting. Let's finish the story, and then after this, I think I'll be done. Verses 10. It says, so Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the what? To the people. Who were what? Asking for a king from him. He said, these will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. So, God told him, yes, they want a king. So you go tell them the consequences of having a king. So we're going to start. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. Are you okay with that? He's going to take your sons and he's going to build a kingdom with your sons. And can I add your daughters as well? Okay? Are we together? That's number one. Number two, verses 12. And he will appoint for himself commanders of what? Remember, himself. Okay? Commanders of what? Thousands and commanders of fifties and some to plow his what? His ground and to reap his harvest. And to make implements of war and the equipment of his chariot. He will take your daughters to be what? Perfumers and cooks and bakers. Note, this is the king that you want. He will take the best of your what? And olive orchards and give them to his what? He will take the tenth of your grain. Are you familiar with this? This is 10%. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vineyards and give it to what? And to his? He will take your male what? And female servants and the best of your young and your what? And put them to what? 17. Remember, his work. 17. He would take, you see, 10% of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. So, this king is going to just be taken. Number one. Okay? Taking. And some of these takings are already calculated in percentages, like 10%. But it's okay, let me move on. Let me open your eyes. If I have 5,000 people, okay, and I controlled you like it's always done, not like here, and I know that 5,000 people, they are going to bring 10%. Whether you like it or you don't like it, I'm a rich man. You are making me rich. You are getting poorer every other day. Am I right? Now, that's the system, I'm sorry to say, that is used in many churches. Kingdom-like structure. Where one man and his family are getting better and better, and you and your household and your generations come to this church and they continue to enrich this one man. And you say, it's the anointing of God. It's not the anointing of God. It's a strategy. It's a system that Samuel warned about the children of Israel. And they did not what? They did not listen. So, this family do not quarrel if they are getting richer. It's because that's what you want. That's number one. But number two, you all become slaves. You all become what? Come on. You all become what? You all become slaves. You're working for me. Sister Sarah, you're all working for me. All of you, you're working. You go make your money, and out of that money, I need 10%. And there are other things that also put. Sometimes it's oil, you buy all those bottles. Sometimes it's water. It's a kingdom set out. Salt, rice. It's a kingdom. And it's run by one man. And he could be anointed. Could be. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's not the leadership in the kingdom of God. That's not what God wanted. That's what people wanted. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Someone say the name. Bachiravye. Verses 18. And in that day, you will cry out because of your king, whom you have what? Chosen for yourself. Have you heard that? Ah, you stole all my land. Your king, whom you chose. Ah, this man, you know, manipulated us. No, it's your king who you chose. We are telling you about good churches and good pastors. You don't want to listen. It's your king that you chose. In the kingdom of God, we have only one king. Okay? The rest are sons and daughters. But if you want a king, that provision is also what? It's available. But don't cry when the conditions become tough. And I want you to hear how they say it, which really amazes me. Verses 19, as I'm ending, I just want to finish this chapter. Next week we'll talk about something else. But the people did what? Did you see? He told them what is going to happen. Told them everything. And sometimes we teach here and we tell you exactly. There are their pastors and their ministers, they are going to really use you. Say, I don't care. This is my man of God. But they are going to tear your life upside down. They are going to tear your life. They are going to tear your family. They are going to take your finances. In fact, some people here, we've served you. People are going to take all your property. So Samuel comes back and they say, but the people what? Refuse to obey the voice of who? The man of God was put there. And they said, no. Tetwagala tuba. Tuleke. But there shall be a king over us. Let's continue. That we also may be like all other churches. And that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Is that familiar? Is that familiar? There's only one leader who prays for you. You don't know even how to pray. This is what you're saying. I'm just interpreting. It's a spirit of this leadership. It can appear in a different form, but it's the same devil. How can one man pray for you? The rest of you, you are not taught how to pray? Verses 21. It stops at really 21. And when Samuel heard all the words of the people, he did what? He repeated them in the ears of the Lord. Last verse, 22. And the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the what? The voice, and make them what? A king. Samuel then said to the men of Israel, it is well. Your request has been what? Has been granted. The king you shall have. What I want you to see that, and next week we'll continue from there, is that when God has set leadership, and many people have said this, you are not going to find, even in Genesis, any hint of control. Even when Adam and Eve decided, God didn't come and put a rope around them. You want a king? It's not what I designed. There you go, have a king. No control at all in the authority that God has put over us. And when you or when we are leading this house, which you call a church of God, one of the things that must be emphasized is there is no control. No control. People say if there's no control, people will not obey. No. People must obey willingly. Not coerced. Amen? Come on, amen? People must be what? Obey willingly. So if you're going to disobey, disobey. And there's nothing that's going to happen to you. But you see, there are certain things that you may have missed out to learn. So, as I end, let me draw for you this, because I've said so many things. But if you can go this with your head, in your head, and then next week we'll continue from there. And we'll talk about now exactly which I wanted to do today, but I don't have time. Exactly now, if that's not the structure, which structure is there now? Now, so far for what I want you to go with is this is a structure. God, who we call the father of this house, or king of this house. Right? Then the next man there will be what? Who we call the pastor. Right? Come on, am I right? Come on, am I right? And then the next, or sometimes other ministers, okay? Then down in the structure of God, then you have the member of the family. You see that? So, if you are attending any spiritual gathering, this is the structure. God is the head, but he has his shepherd that he has put to do what? To lead. Next week we'll talk about that. So that means if there are shepherds, there is what? Sheep. Or there are what? People. Mchitegeddecho. So gwenga member atetewe tekeno wa guru. Sigwe afuga. Echifo. Is that clear? There is order. Everybody say order. Ebintu byomoyo birimu order. God, there's a pastor or pastors in the place. Then where do you fit? There are members or there's sheep. So that means that when there's something that is wrong, there's order. Where do you go? When things were wrong with Samuel, where did he go? A leader doesn't come down to solve issues. He goes up to solve issues. A member doesn't say, I'm leaving this church because for me, I believe in God, but I hate the members and the leaders. No. If something is wrong, the Bible says, do what? First of all, first find another member who is mature and with character and with conduct. Something is bothering you. You've been offended. You've been treated in the family. The first thing is not to leave the church. No. Find another member who is what? Mature and with conduct and with a very good reputation. And then talk about these things. And try to get a perspective of what has happened. I'm very sure that if this person is mature, they will give you a very good perspective. But if it doesn't work out, what does the Bible say? Then take that matter. I'm giving you a structure. Because sometimes people, things happen, and they don't know how to go about these things. What do you do? Go to the leader that is above you. Why are you gossiping? Why are you mumbling? There is a structure where things can be resolved maturely. So you go to the pastor. I'm going, you know what? A and B happened. I was hurt. But I came so that we can talk about it. Did you notice it? Now sometimes you may be shocked that even the pastors don't know about it. But for you, you thought because I'm a pastor of this church, I know everything that is happening in the church. No, I don't. Are we together? Come on, are we together? So something that has happened, get somebody who is mature. Talk about it. If it doesn't work out, get a leader in the church where you're under, and say, hey, something happened. And I want to talk to you about it. A, B, C, D. I want to hear your view. And then that leader will talk to you about or give you clarity. Amen? Like I was told something yesterday. And there was a lot of misinformation. But I said, no, that's not the information. The information is this. So and so came to me. and they told me ABC. But this particular people had already concluded about the matter. But I said, no, I actually know about that incident. It's A, it's B, it's C. So they say, hey, Papa, well, for us, we didn't know. We thought, no, I said it's A, B, C. And hadn't you come to me, you are going to be offended and you're going to start pulling arrows to shoot the other person. So it's good that they, because they had talked here and they were not satisfied. So they came to me. I said, no, I know about that situation. It's A, it's B, it's C, and I have evidence. I said, hey, okay, but we don't know. I said, this is what it is. So we avoided a member being attacked wrongly because of order. Amen? Come on, amen. Come on, amen. So there is what? There is order. Next week or the other week I'll talk about, but we've talked about just a member. But again, if a member encounters a pastor, please, and I think it has happened even in this church, if a pastor is doing the things that I have mentioned, okay? He is asking money. He is distorting. He is going around womanizing, because it's happened before. Some of the things I don't know, sometimes I get to know them when they are done. A pastor is saying, this don't tell Pastor Godwin. You hear about it, please don't go to anybody here. Come to me, tell me. Because I'm the pastor of that pastor. Are we hearing? Come on, are we hearing? Don't go to God. Don't even pray to God. I am here in the stead of God. I'm serious. Because these things have happened. And the way they've happened, I am not really very happy. So these pastors have their pastor. Right? And their pastor, in this instance, is Pastor who? Godwin. So if a pastor has hurt you, don't get another member. And then talk about it. I don't know, the pastor said, no. Come, if it's really hurt you, you've been actually even offended. No, come to Pastor Godwin and says, you know, we saw Pastor so-and-so giving out rice, selling holy oil, and I will handle that pastor. What are you doing? Together as a family, even though I'm a leader, you are helping to maintain order. Other people are not going to come to this church because they hear about the things that are happening in the pastoral leadership. And says, but the pastors of the house don't care. Members are cheated. Members are hurt. And nothing is being done. Nothing is being done because sometimes we don't know about it. And sometimes people come to me later. And we've lost so many people like that. No more, please. And don't be afraid. Now, if you want to remain anonymous, everyone say anonymous. Anonymous, you don't want to be known, you want to have a clear conscience, go on our website. Okay? Our website is www.imitatechurch. Write it down. Because you know, biba kuata kwa nsonga zamwe, muzituwala wa. Biba kuata kwa .imitatechurch. What? .com. There is a place where you can do what? You can send a message, right? What is that place called? Brother Brand, check very quickly, because this is very serious. If you want to remain anonymous, you don't want to be known, something bad, but for you, you just want to do what? Tell the leadership. Okay? Go on the website and write. Not WhatsApp, because WhatsApp, they will know who sent it. Okay? Will WhatsApp, if somebody sent through WhatsApp, will somebody know who sent it? They will know who sent it, eh? Some people don't want to be known. Really, some people just want to, something happened, I just want to make it known. I don't want to get involved. That is also okay. To keep confidentiality, it's okay. But I want to give you a what? A vehicle that you can use to communicate those what? Those things. So you go on our website, there's a place where you write. What is it called, Brother Brian? Have you found out? Huh? Contact us. Go there and say, I found Pastor Ronald. He was drunk and reckless in this place on this day so that me I can handle. He was fighting. Okay? Because once we don't do that, there are so many people, not that we're going to solve all the problems, but by me telling you this also as a church publicly, it's a safeguard. Now you know and the pastors know. So nobody is going to do things recklessly. If you do them, you just know you are going to be cautioned. Am I right? Come on, am I right? Come on, am I right? But if you don't mind, you can always just come and sit with me and tell me that such and such happened. It may not be a pastor, but it may be a leader. Somebody, especially the people who come here and teach. Something happens. Please don't gossip with somebody else. When things in this church happen, I talk to the pastors. If something went out, then it's maybe one of the pastors, but we are very careful with confidentiality. Amen? Come on, amen? Next week we'll talk about exactly what the pastor or the shepherd or what kind of leadership does it look like. I think today I just showed you what it doesn't look like. So next week I'll show you what exactly that kind of leadership and how do we honor and how do we maintain order. But today I wanted to show you that in every house there is God, there is what? There is a pastor, or there is a shepherd, and there are members, or there is sheep. In fact, if we could go even further, in the family, it's the same structure. There are what? For you who are married also, I know time has gone, so, there is God. The head of every family is who? God. And the second one is what? Husband, who is the father also, right? Right? So, vovao, the one is what? Wife. Who is also what? A mother, right? Right? And then the last one are what? So, in this structure, please, wife, know that there is a head. There's a lead. And I told you in the very beginning, it doesn't matter how sloppy he is. He's a lead. Okay? And then, so you don't go like this. You go like this. Also, children, you don't go like this. Children, go like this. Right? Right? You cannot, as a child, you cannot go to something that you misunderstood with your mother. Okay? And you go to your father straight. No, there is order. Everybody say order. So why can't I? Order. Order and honor. You respect your mother. So that's why you can't take things up. It's honor. You first talk with your mother. Baby, baby, ganye. Say, but mommy, you're going to call me daddy. That is what? Honor. So it's the same thing, kimba demba gamba, nemu chachi. Okay? A member can't just all the way jump. No. You first talk to sometimes the members, right? The members that you are close to. Like I know that Sister Sylvia is very close with Sister Dorcas and Maggie. Okay? Any sensitive thing in regarding in this church, I would expect Maggie to know and Dorcas to know. HOC is Nchimani. Nchimani. So I'm also not going to feel like, attend Maggie. No, that's their what? Safe space. Where they can what? Talk things that sometimes may not reach me. But as Maggie talks to Tiba and Tiba talks to Maggie, they are able to heal. Have I made a very good what? Example. I know they are always talking. And they're not always talking things vibagara. No, why we vibaluma? And they talk. Sometimes in Basanga, like after church, they are there. Like yesterday, na Basanze, Bamaze, the meeting, na iraba chanyunya. So I'm expecting it. What will be bogera? Evibaruma. Okay? Which is okay. Because that environment is what? Is fenced. It's healthy. Okay? And then also that circle, make sure those things don't jump that circle. Am I clear? Unless bivalemye, then you can bring them to your pastor. What I'm saying is that by the time the person leaves the church, chiganye, chikozechi, by the time somebody divorces, chiganye, and sometimes one bivaliganye, mubireta wano. The children, if you want to divorce, don't just divorce without bringing the children in. And they can ask you, but what's wrong, daddy and mommy? Yeah, because for us, you've been also telling us to do what? To resolve. So you, what is wrong? Do you get what I'm saying? Order. A lot of the times, when there is no order, please write this down. I think I wanted to say it next week. Let's write this down. There are about three statements and then we are done. Anything without a head, it's dead. Anything, right? Anything without a head. Echintu chonna echitaina mutwe. It's dead. So if it's a church, it's dead. If it's a marriage, it's dead. If it's a company, it's dead. If it's a relationship, it's dead. Any relationship has to have a head. If you are not the head, please don't promote yourself. Don't anoint yourself. Do not even make yourself a head. That relationship is dead. You know why? The head is the only head that knows how to function as the head. But anything with two heads is a monster, beast. They can't be two heads. You can't be a member and also pretend to be pastoring that church. No, you're a member. For me, if I was a pastor, you are not the pastor, okay? You are not. That's a fact. You are not. So anything with two heads, if it's a marriage, there are two heads, it's a monster. If it's a company, there are two heads, there's friction, there's going to be, what did Paul call it? Strife. So guess what? In God's structure, there must be one head. Amen? Then, the first honor and order we need to acknowledge is submission to God's authority. That's the first honor and order we need to acknowledge. Submit to who? God's authority. Just like I have shown you. In the church, God is first. In the family, God is first. The authority and honor of God is what we acknowledge. Why? Because in this structure, leaders are not nominated. So for us to honor the leaders in here, we must first of all, in the beginning, acknowledge and honor the what? Yeah, God, sorry. In other words, you submit. Okay? But second to that, is to submit and honor the structure of leadership that God has established. Okay? Second to that is to do what? Submit and honor the structure or the order of leadership that God has what? Established above you. And that is in the structure of a home, and that is it in the structure of the church, but also that is in the structure of believers. We talk about it that are employed in an environment where there's a believing boss. It's the same. You don't dishonor. You are not the head. Problems are going to arise. Amen? Come on, amen? Lastly, I told you three statements. To disobey God's form of structure is to disobey God. To disobey God's form of structure is to disobey God. So, I think now you know where most of the problems are coming from. For us who are believers, you know where the problems are coming from. And actually, if you know where the problems are coming from, you know how to solve those problems. Amen? Can we bow down our heads and pray? In fact, as you're bowing down your head, I think the first thing that you need to pray in 1 minute is to just say, Lord, I maybe didn't know this, but if there's any way that I have abused that or misunderstood that, I'm asking you to forgive me because I'm your child and I'm learning and I would want to do things right. So I'm going to give you 1 minute, just where you are, where you're seated. Just say a simple prayer. Alright, secondly, I want us to pray for our church and all the leaders and all the members that moving forward, we honor each other and we honor the structure that God has put in the body of Christ, not just in this church. This is not my structure. This is what the Bible says about leadership in His house. Can we just pray that in this house, you know, things will be done orderly and in a way that honors God, because this is what God requires in His family. Can we just pray? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we are praying because we are one body, we are one family. We are praying that the things maybe we have said over the leadership, or the things that we've had in many instances, they may be right, they may not, we may have not understood, but Father, we are praying that we'll be better custodians of the relationships in this house. Lord, we will respond better. Lord, we will act in wisdom. We will act in understanding. Father, help us not to take things out of context. Lord, help us not to allow strife. Lord, help us not to allow bitterness, but help us to heal one another, as the Bible says, forgive one another and confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Lord, we pray over every member that comes to this church. Lord, we pray over every leader, every pastor, every minister. Father, we are praying for your hand to be over them. We are praying for your grace to be over them. Lord, we are praying that what we are reading in the scriptures, Lord, will be how we will respond to the things that you have directed us. We want to thank you and we want to bless you in Jesus' name, and all the people say,